The New Testament is often critical of religious leaders during Jesus' day. That is why I find this morning's text so refreshing to hear about the elders in the synagogue who show the love of this early faith community. The centurion was a Gentile of non-Jewish origin. He is not only a foreigner and an outsider, he is also part of a military occupation there in Israel, Rome occupying this ancient land. I personally would love to hear the story of this soldier before this day in our text, how he went into this foreign country and how he fell in love with her people and fell in love with the Lord of all nations, the God of Israel. And why not be reminded this Memorial Day weekend of other soldiers who have gone out into distant lands to fight a war, then only to return years later as a missionary to the same land to simply do good to that nation, or perhaps do missionary work, because they have so identified with those people and have grown to love them, as the centurion did. Like you, I also grew up with veterans of World War II who came back with German or Japanese wives. I heard just last week of a veteran from Vietnam who goes back frequently to help protect children from landmines that are still active there these decades later. And of course, we hear of the many stories of soldiers who have grown to love the people of Iraq and Afghanistan, not unlike the centurion who loved the Jewish people. The elders serve as mediators between the centurion and Jesus. He is worthy, they say, because he has helped us build the synagogue. And I'm sure there would be a lot of people who would show gratitude here in this place if someone, even an outsider, were to help us put a new roof on our place of worship. He is worthy for you, Jesus, to do some good toward him, because he has done so much good toward us, God's people. They ask Jesus to heal the centurion slave, a servant who is also well loved by his master. As Jesus heads toward the centurion's home, the centurion himself says that it is necessary, and he gives us two reasons why. Two reasons why Jesus does not need to continue on his journey toward his home. First of all, the centurion says that he is not worthy. He is not worthy to have someone so esteemed, such as Jesus, come under his roof. Maybe it's because he fears that he cannot be hospitable enough. Or maybe he doesn't believe that he deserves such an honor. Or perhaps it's because of his shame and his guilt for who he is as a foreigner and a centurion, or perhaps even what he has done. Whatever it is, he says he is not worthy. It's a feeling that I think we all have, that we're not good enough for the goodness of God, or we have not done enough to earn his blessing. Or perhaps we do not feel that we rank high enough in the social order, or, on the other hand, that our higher status in life shouldn't give us privilege, as it often does. Or perhaps it is the truth that none of us meets God's standards. We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, Scripture says. We know that we have failed to do what the law requires. But there is so much to commend to the people of our passage today. The elders and the people of the synagogue show love for this foreigner. They answer Solomon's prayer hundreds of years earlier. The centurion also answers his prayer, loving his new neighbors as himself. The community sees value and worth in this newcomer, even though he has all the marks of the enemy. The soldier is open-minded enough, he's tender-hearted enough to discover a deeper relationship with God and with the new people he makes his own, and even the servant that serves him. Instead of a community that finds shortcomings in one another, instead of pointing out each other's flaws, as they could have done, instead of continuing to be captive to their own fears of one another, they become one family. This family of faith at the synagogue adopts a new son, a foreigner, a centurion, a soldier. The Roman occupier becomes occupied by their love and chooses a new family and to support them with his own gifts and treasures. And yet, only one is worthy, truth be told, and that is God alone. He alone is worthy and deserving of our praise. No one is good enough. No one has done good enough. No one has earned or deserved the blessings of God, which leads us to the centurion's great insight into the economy of God's grace. This leads us to the second reason the centurion tells Jesus not to go further into his home. Jesus does not need to come into his house, he says, and heal his slave, perhaps out of his own experience. He is also one who is in authority and a person of great responsibility. You don't need to come into my house, Jesus, the centurion says. You can just say the word, and mountains will move, doors will open, and my servant will be healed. In other words, God alone is worthy for this task, and Jesus is his true prophet. The centurion understands that God's thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. And oftentimes, his work transcends our human understanding, and delightfully so. His healing, forgiveness, and love does not come because of our worth or worthiness. In fact, he heals and forgives and loves us because of our unworthiness and because of our inability to help ourselves. And the great miracle of this text is that Jesus finds worth and value in this centurion that surpasses even the elders in the community of faith in Israel. God is good enough. His only Son has done all that is right, good, and acceptable to us and our Heavenly Father. And Jesus of Nazareth has paid the price for that slave's healing and our healing by his sweat and by his blood. Christ has earned our salvation by dying on the cross of Calvary. The one who alone is worthy has risen from the dead, and he is building a new place of worship, a new temple, and you and I are its building stones. God brings us into this community. He takes those of us who are outsiders and orphans and brings us into this family of faith. This is a nurturing community, this text reminds us, where we're not looking for fault in one another, but finding worth in one another and value in each and every member. We know that our true worth does not come from ourselves, but from the God of all glory and grace. He does not need to come under our roof, even with its leaky roof, because he has already entered our hearts. in our minds, in our lives. He makes us worthy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.